here's the beautiful thing about it. You can develop an internal motivation. You can develop an internal drive.
Winning habits, winning routines, and a winning mindset.
You're the main character of your own life story.
Welcome to the Susan Sly Project, where entrepreneurs rule, startups launch, and the side hustle becomes the main hustle. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Susan Sly.
All right, you. Yes, I'm talking to you. Lean in. If we're on YouTube together, just like look me in the eyes. If you're listening, just hear my voice. I have a question for you. Are you thinking, I really need to double down on my business, or I need to start a business, I need a side hustle, I need to figure out a way to make more money? Because maybe you've been furloughed, maybe there's some just crazy happening, or maybe you're like, I really just want to work from home right now. My guest today is the expert in all of this. He's been featured in Entrepreneur Magazine. He just recently was quoted in Medium. He has been on Fox News, Fox Business. He's been on NBC News. The list goes on and on and on. He lost his dream job 25 years ago, and he decided he would never be dependent on an employer for his financial security again. So like me, he is psychologically unemployable. He became a millionaire at 36 years old by becoming a serial entrepreneur. And that's serial with an S, friends, not the C. No. He has started more than 20 companies. He's currently running 9 companies. He's an underachiever. No, I'm just kidding. He's amazing. His newest book, The World's Greatest Business Plan, helps people by providing a simple step-by-step plan for those who cannot afford to fail. And on top of everything, one of the things I admire about this human is he's very direct, no nonsense. So if you can grab a pen, do what you need to do. You'll probably have to listen to this again. We're going to get right down to it. So Sean Castrina, welcome to the Susan Sly Project. It's great to have you here.
It's great to be on.
So Sean, let's jump right in. We're dealing with a little crazy right now. There are people who have been laid off. They've been furloughed. They've been sent home to work. Recently, I read an article where you were quoted in the Oklahoma 100, 5 ways to stay motivated. Let's jump in. How does someone stay motivated right now if they're really essentially freaking out about everything that's going on in the world?
Yeah. One thing, you know, one way to stay motivated is to, I always list my situation in life as like, what, you know, this is going to be counterintuitive, but I'm like, what's the worst thing that can happen? So I always like look at my downside, and like, once I kind of realize that, okay, can only go this far, then I can immediately shift to the positive. I think sometimes we, you know, we look at it, worst thing that we can happen is we could lose our job. We may not get called back to work. It's an income related thing. And this is the number one thing. You can always replace income. There's things you can't fix. Health issues. I have friends with health issues. They're real problems. Jobs, money. It's uncomfortable, but you can navigate this. And what I would say to you is, if you have a skill right now that somebody's paying you for, you have a business. You just got to think of it differently. If somebody's paying you to do something, they are saying, you know, so-and-so, I value you enough to pay you this. Now, you may not feel like they're paying you enough, whatever the case may be, but a lot of people don't even think they have a skill that they can monetize. And I'm telling you, if you have a job, you have a potential business. So that's one way to look at it.
Well, and there are people out there who haven't looked at it like that. They're going, well, yes, I do this for XYZ company, but I haven't thought about turning it into a business. So what about that person listening and they're like, okay, Sean, you're waking me up a little bit. What would the first steps be if they want to turn that skill into a business?
Number one is that everything great happens at hour 41 for successful people. And let me kind of share with you what I mean by that is that, yeah, at some point when you get really successful, you control your schedule. And I have to admit, I don't do a lot of things I don't like to do anymore. And I stay in pretty much my area of strength. But there was, in the beginning, I did quite a few things that I didn't necessarily want to do. And most of that started in hour 41, because I don't think if you can, you don't necessarily quit your day job. I think that's one of the biggest mistakes that people make and I've been to these, you know, motivational seminars where the speaker's up there going, quit your day job. And the lady gets up and she's a school teacher and she gives her testimony that she's going to quit on Monday. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Or the guy who's making $100,000 a year, or the woman who's making, you know, they're making great money. And I'm like, wait, tap the brakes a little bit. 168 hours in a week, last I checked. Most successful entrepreneurs starting out work 80 to 100 hours. Why don't you stay at your job and work 40, keep your benefits. It'll take the pressure off you. And let's do this business in hour 41. And let's set a goal over a year to get the business launched. And maybe by year two, that it replaces 50% of your income. Now, if it happens sooner, you can quit sooner. But let's create some measurables. And I think that that's just been always been my approach. You know, it's kind of a cinch by the inch. And I like to set, you know, real goals. And one of them is quitting your job is something you have to earn. It's not something you decide. You got to earn that right. And so I think that, that's one of my philosophies that differs from a lot of other people out there.
Well, you and I share that. Quitting your, I just wrote that down. Quitting your job is what you earn. There, I see a lot of people, to your point, and I've spoken at those seminars, but I never tell people, leave your job. One of the things I always talk about is get the money in the bank, set up your infrastructure. You do not go full-time into your business until your business can pay you at least 75% of what you were making as an employee. What you know, when someone's listening and they're like, I want to start a business and I really don't know where to begin, what are the first things that person should do? Are you a big believer in, you know, set up the corporation, or what steps do you like? Let's even back.
Yeah, let's go from, I'll go back to like in the beginning. This is kind of what you do is that, okay, you get the epiphany, you get the desire that you want to be an entrepreneur. And all I believe you should start with is just know why you want to be an entrepreneur. Just take a little bit of time, write that down, because that's going to be what motivates you through the what's going to take place next. So, you know, don't make sure it's not a fad, because there are some employment jobs that are perfect for the people that have them. My daughter's a school teacher. She's great at it. She loves it. My son's an entrepreneur. It's just two sides. Neither one of them are wrong. So first thing is just confirm why you want to be an entrepreneur. Second, now you got to start finding what a profitable idea looks like. This is one of my, you know, skills. Passion is, and this is just, you know, a lot of people don't buy in this and it offends people, but passion is an entrepreneur's mistress. Seek profit. And I talk about the law of profit. The law of profit says that you got to do a business that makes money. And if your business doesn't make money, you failed. It's really simple. See, it takes emotion out of it. But we have a great culture. I want to ask you, are you making money? Are customers paying you? So with that being said, so let's just understand we're going to start a business. We're excited about starting it. We define a successful business as one that makes money. And I believe you should make money really, really quick. So now we got to find ideas that would be profitable. And the reason why I introduced it that way, because now you don't chase that passion road. Just because I love golf doesn't mean I buy a driving range. Okay, so we got to find profitable ideas, and they're normally, this is how you find them. They typically solve a problem that you experience. Every business I own solved a problem. Okay, number two is they meet a need. People just have general needs out there. Okay, you know, example, like an oil change. That's just a need. There's nothing fancy about it, but if you can provide it, there's people that need it. Okay, groceries, that's a need. Now, Whole Foods takes it to a different level. They provide a want. And that's the next thing is you have needs and wants. Example, you have a normal vacation. You have a sandals vacation. You have a normal vacation. You have a Disney vacation. So you have needs and wants. A Kia versus a Mercedes. Kind of get the two ideas. But both of them work. And then finally, you can entertain. There's people that entertain. They have YouTube channels or whatever. If you can create a following, you can monetize that. So let me go back to the four ways that you're going to make money 99% of the time. So they're really simple. You are going to solve a problem. So be alert over the next 12 months to problems that you have, and then test and, you know, beta test it a little bit. Do a Survey Monkey, reach out on social media in some way and validate that other people have this need and they'd be willing to pay for it. Okay, so solve a problem. Now, can you meet a need? Think of a need out there. It's mowing somebody's grass. Whatever the case may be, there's a need out there. Tutoring. Yeah. There's a need out there, huge need right out there. Okay. Now there's a want. That's the next tier. That's the next tier. That's where you're playing. You know, this is what people aspire to have. It's a different clientele. It's at next level. Okay. Needs and wants. And then finally wrap it up with, are you able to entertain people and be realistic? Okay. Everybody thinks they're the next Kardashian or this or that. You know, the statistics of that, you have a better chance of winning the lottery. So that's great, but I wouldn't. That's where I definitely tell you, don't quit your day job.
Yeah, that's great. I love how you broke that down, Sean, because on LinkedIn, I'm signed up as a LinkedIn mentor, right? It's the number one question I get. How do I start a side hustle while I'm still working? And those steps are perfect because people have to understand there is going to be a very messy period of time where, to your point, you're putting in your work day and you're putting in your side hustle day. And if you can't handle for a period of time, and that period of time may be 6 months, it might be a year, it might be 18 months, it might be 2 years, where some days you're going to put in 16-hour days. And that's the bottom line. I have, in the startup world, it's like startups are the new, I don't know, franchises, whatever. Everyone wants to do a startup and people have no idea how gritty it is, especially if you're doing funding raises, if you're using OPP, you know, other people's profits, right? Like whatever, you're accountable to a board, you're accountable to investors. I mean, it's a lot to process. Let me ask you this. So let's talk about trends. You mentioned if you're a teacher, you could be a from home tutor. We're seeing that with so many people working from home now, they're coming up with really creative ideas to get their skill into the market, but from home. So let's say over the next 3 to 6 months, what are some trends you're seeing in terms of people saying, oh my gosh, I have several skills, Sean, like I'm really great at cooking and I'm really great at bookkeeping. How do I choose one? What are some trends you're seeing in the market?
The key thing is this, the number one thing, and it's going down to a need. What are the needs out there? Just keep your ears open. Like I live in a fairly affluent area. Okay. So if you can cook dinner and bring it to my house, you put a postcard in my mailbox and tell me that you can deliver, you can put my family on a meal plan and you'll deliver 3 nights a week, a healthy meal for 4, 6. You're going to do the grocery shopping for me. See, that's that need want. You've got me. Now I'm just brainstorming right now. I've told my landscaper, just an example. I said, you realize if you would pick the weeds in my flower beds, I'd pay you another $100. It's going to cost you $12 for somebody to do that. I'm just giving you just stuff I see. I had my cars waxed yesterday. I paid $130. The guy was out there an hour and a half to do one per car. I mean, that's $100 an hour. In other words, just look at what you know how to do. And the bigger issue is this. It's not, you know, this is how you know if it's a business. Can you attract customers? I am shocked what people will pay for. And I'm shocked what I pay for. But it's the secret to launching a business is your ability to attract customers. Focused on that. If you can attract customers, and this is where you beta test something. Like a simple way to do that is, do a 10,000 mailer in like a Valpak. Okay. So what's it going to cost you? You know, $300 to do a mailer in Valpak, put up a website, a one-page website, buy a local phone number. These cost nothing. So you just did a beta test for under $500, run it for whatever it is you do and see how many calls you get. I mean, in other words, I didn't know any of these questions before this thing started. But this is how I do it. This is how I tell other people to do it. Find a need. You know, find a need, solve the need. But the biggest thing is, the number one thing to focus on is how you're going to attract customers. I think that's the one thing that startup people take for granted.
Oh, yes.
More than anything. I think that's the number one thing. Because customers solve all problems. No customers, there's no solution to fix that. In other words, if you think of all the problems you can have in business, if I went to, let's go to Sears, JCPenney, let's go to Blockbuster. They fail because they lost the amount of customers they needed to pay their bills. Period. That's it. Every business fails. That's the 99.9%. You give me an abundance of customers, I'll work with that problem. means I got to staff more. It means I might have to, it means I have to maybe create more different services because they're asking for more. These are good problems. These are like great first world problems. I'll never forget that I was in my office one day and I heard this come out of my mouth. This is just kind of funny. I said to my secretary, my limo driver is late and I'm going to miss my private plane. And she looked at me with a laugh and said, oh, you have first world problems, don't you? So my point is that in business, the greatest problem you can have is too many customers. And that's the number one thing you want to solve coming out of the gate. So beta test that, figure out, attract customers, and you, the business, the creating the money, it'll, all those dominoes will fall down.
And plan, do, review, right? Like as you're beta testing and you get those initial adopters, figure out what is it that you need to refine. Like you just said, your landscaper, you know, if he would pick the weeds out, you'd pay him more. One of our clients, she started a business called Math with Marcia, and it was really meeting. She's an engineer and she loves math. She's passionate about it. Suddenly I had a bunch of friends and we're all like, crap. Okay, we have to teach grade 9 algebra. We have to, like, there are all these things we have to do in addition to running companies. I was now a full-time homeschool mom, yeah, right? And I'm like, I would just hire people to tutor my kids. And so, you know, there are so many businesses out there yet to be born. And I look at what's happening in the world as a time of amazing opportunity. I want to ask you, Sean, what do you say to the person who, let's say they're 6 months, 12 months, maybe even longer into, they've got a side hustle, they've got their job, but they just haven't hit their stride yet in terms of monetizing to a place where they can leave. What do you tell them to stay in the game?
All right. Sometimes you need to get out of the game or change the game. That's why I go back to the law of profit. If you're just exchanging time for hours, in other words, you're making you're making $35 an hour or less. In other words, the point is if you worked overtime at your regular job, you could make the same amount of money. That's kind of the standard I use. You might as well just be a great employee, not leave for the day and make time and a half. Yeah. That idea. So you do have to sometimes look at what you're doing and realize this has become a hobby or it's just become a job. And that's my only problem with side hustles are, there's got to be a poop or get off the pot point where you're making money and you're making it at a level that it's truly a business. It's just not swapping time for what you could have, you know, again, you could have stayed at your regular job and made time and a half. It's kind of in that range. Maybe it's double what you would make per hour, but it's not. Could you scale it? Could you get somebody else to do it for you? That's when I think one thing with a side hustle is if you're still the one doing all the work, you're still in that trading time. So I think the one thing you got to think about is, let's say that your business is only making a certain amount of money. Let's say it's $40 an hour. I'm just using that for conversation's sake. Maybe it's not for you. Maybe what you need to do is get somebody else to do it and you make a passive override.
Yeah.
So you just got to think of it differently. My first business I started was a detailing company. It's funny. That's the company that cleaned my cars yesterday. 21 years ago, actually 23 years ago, now that I think about it, still in business, durable business model. I love it because I was showing it to my son. I created the logo on it. And this is the thing. I made $35,000 a year in a side hustle, but I did nothing. I never cleaned a vehicle. I still haven't cleaned one. I just created the marketing arm of it. I created a really cool name tagline. I knew how to market it, made the phone ring. But once I set that up, I was making $35,000 passive. So my point is, if you can have a side hustle that makes you $25,000 a year passively. So see, I just changed the game. You were bringing in 25 or 30. The only thing I said is maybe you need to extract yourself from that and see if you can get some labor force that's less expensive. So instead of it being your side hustle that you're literally hustling personally to do it, it becomes passive income. So I would probably transition from side hustle to passive income.
I love that advice. And Sean, you've got so much wisdom because you've been there, you've done that, you've lived it. You know, I love your transparency and vulnerability. Everyone needs to check out Sean's show. Sean has an amazing show. It's 10 minutes with entrepreneurs and it's just like rapid fire, right? And so Sean, I know you're an avid tweeter. So please do check out Sean on Twitter, your show. What's the best platform that you want people to
What I would tell you is I host the 10-Minute Entrepreneur podcast, where I believe I interview more founders in a course of a year than any other podcast. And it's really short, 10 minutes. You know, my interviews typically don't go more than 20, but I ask them, you know, what do they wish they knew now, you know, then when they first started that they know now, what's your best piece of startup advice? And so it's just so good. They're incredible people. And so that's obviously follow, you know, going to the podcast. If you go to my website, seancastrine.com, I always give away a free book. I have the 8 Unbreakable Rules for Business Startup Success, which was a bestseller, endorsed by New York Times bestselling authors, as well as a lot of business schools. That's for free. So there, that's everything for free. 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast. Go to my website. You get a free book.
I love it. Thanks for how you show up and serve, Sean. You're absolutely amazing. And Sean and I, as podcasters, if this has been helpful for you, we would love a 5-star review. If you're on iTunes, share it. If you're on YouTube, I am the one, not any of my staff, who actually respond to all of your comments and questions. So with that, this is another episode of the Susan Sly Project, and I will see you next time.
To find out more about Susan or hire her to speak, go to www.susansly.com. You can also find Susan on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn.